Hey man, go ahead and grab a seat if you would, and we are going to dive right in this morning. Let me say welcome on this Palm Sunday. If you're joining us in person, and most of you are, then those online joining us, welcome. We are so glad you're joining us online. This morning, we are actually starting a sermon series, and I want you to really listen carefully to the title of the series, all right? It's a sermon series that we're just calling Jesus in the Old Testament. Now, I know some of you are going, we're starting a series. Is it like just a one-week series? No, it's going to run on for several weeks. And you're going, well, this is Palm Sunday. Next Sunday is Easter. And I thought maybe we'd be in the New Testament today, you know, maybe the New Testament next week. Why are we doing Jesus in the Old Testament? Well, we're doing Jesus in the Old Testament, even on Palm Sunday, because we believe the Bible in its entirety is centered on Jesus. If you believe that this morning, that the Bible in its entirety is centered on Jesus, would you just say amen?
Amen.
Actually, theologians call that a Christocentric hermeneutic. Christocentric hermeneutic. That everything in Scripture points to Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. It was Timothy Keller, the late Timothy Keller, longtime pastor at Redeemer Perez in New York City, a man that was just brilliant, that said this: you can read Scripture as if it's all about you. Now, don't read ahead. And I know you're reading ahead because I said don't read ahead, but just hang with me for a second, okay? Isn't that just like us to read Scripture as if it is all about us? And I'm not even saying that's all wrong. I mean, I read Scripture and I'm going, Lord, what are you saying to me? Lord, what are you wanting me to hear? But Timothy Keller has an incredible point that he's making here. You can read Scripture as if it's all about you, or you can read it as all about Jesus. Every single thing is not about what you must do in order to make yourself right with God, but what he has done to make you right with him. All of Scripture points to Palm Sunday. All of Scripture points to Easter, because all of Scripture points to what Jesus has done to make us right with him. Can we just say amen to that? Amen? Listen to the words of Jesus himself. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. Now, Moses writes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. How many of you believe Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy is about Jesus? Do you believe it's about Jesus? I'm glad you do, because Jesus just told us it's about Jesus, right? As a matter of fact, Luke in his gospel adds this: and beginning with Moses and all the prophets. Now, there are a lot of prophets in the Old Testament: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Hosea, right? A bunch of them, right? Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he, that is Jesus, interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. See, we believe that all of Scripture points to Jesus. All 66 books written over 1,600 years by 40 authors with one theme, Genesis to Revelation. It is all about, say it with me, what? It's all about Jesus. Jesus coming to restore all things unto himself. Jesus coming to restore you and me unto himself. So on this Palm Sunday, as we celebrate the one who rode into Jerusalem, we're going to celebrate that he not only rode into Jerusalem to save you and me, we're going to celebrate the fact that the one who rode into Jerusalem to save us is the one who made us. The one who rode in to save you and me is the one who created you and me. And so this morning on Palm Sunday, we're going to go to a text you never thought we'd go to. We're going to go all the way back to the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 1. And I want to invite you to stand with me, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2 together. And again, I invite you to stand because I want us to acknowledge that now we are about to hear not from Gary, but God. And we're acknowledging that God is our authority. His word is our authority for our faith, what we believe and our practice, what we do. So would you read God's word with me? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for honoring God and His Word. And let's just dive in. There's one central thought that I'm inviting you to just consider with me. I pray that this is something that could begin to sink into us and form us. And it's this thought right here. Jesus created you. We could stop right there and that'd be sermon enough. But I want us to consider something else. Jesus created you on purpose. And when you hear on purpose, what I want you to be thinking about is uniquely one-of-a-kind original. See, Jesus created you on purpose, and He created you and He created me for a purpose. So with that in mind, I invite you to listen again to God's Word. Notice how it says, Jesus created you, and we get that honestly from Genesis. Listen to this. And then God said, let us make man in our image. We're just skipping down to verse 26 in chapter 1. You ready? Are you tracking with me? Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now that's interesting. We believe in how many gods? Here's a hint. Students, I want y'all to track with me on this one, right? How many gods do we believe in? Here's a big hint, but say it with me. How many? We believe the Lord thy God is one God. Amen. But we also believe when it says, let us, who is the us, make man in our image. Who is the our? Our likeness. Who is the our? Us, our. Who is that referring to? It's talking about the triune God. And so in Genesis chapter 1, we just read it, God created. But we also read in Colossians chapter 1 that Jesus created, for by Him, that is Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. So we see in Genesis 1, God the Father created. We see in Colossians 1 that Jesus created. And we saw in Genesis 1, the verse that we read, that the Holy Spirit was a part of creation and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. We refer to this as the Trinity. One God, three persons, eternally existing with each other in the divine community. Behold, the Lord thy God is one God in three persons. Gary, why is that so important? Because Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, created everything. Do you believe this morning that Jesus stands over creation? He stands before creation. He stands after creation. And He is the creator who created creation. Do you believe that this morning? Yes or no? And if you really believe that, then all of a sudden you can affirm that Jesus is alone, omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent. Jesus is all-knowing and all-powerful and all-present. Let me try to illustrate it in a really poor way, but it's the best I can do. Scientists suggest the best they can do is estimate that the universe is 93 billion light years across. Now, let me stress, this is the observable universe that they're talking about. 93 billion light years across. Do you know how big that is? Yeah, I don't either. But it's really, really big, right? And here's the thing. Let me try to break it down this way, okay? Seriously. I mean, what I read on the internet, if it's not right, it's just an illustration. I don't care. Don't email me, okay? Here's what I read, though. Light travels about 6 trillion miles in a year. 6 trillion. So now we're just talking about the observable universe is 93 billion of those light years. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say you take a quarter and you begin to stack up quarters one on top of another. Every quarter represents 6 trillion miles. And you start stacking those up and you stack up 93 billion quarters. Do you know how high that is? Yeah, I don't have a clue either. But and I looked it up, and nobody could tell me how high that would be. And so I'm just like, okay, wait. But listen to this. That's the observable universe. Scientists suggest that the actual universe could be up to 250 times larger than that. Gary, what is your point? God created the universe with a spoken word. He spoke, and it came into being. And the one who rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to save us is the one who spoke creation into existence. Let me tell you why this is so important. Do not get who this Jesus is. Don't get it wrong. Don't get it wrong. If you get wrong who Jesus is, you miss out on the salvation that he rode into Jerusalem to offer. Islam gets Jesus wrong. Islam will teach you that Jesus is a prophet, a teacher, but he is not the God who created. He is the one who was created by God. Mormonism gets Jesus wrong. Mormonism teaches that Father God and Mother God, spirit babies, and Jesus is they have spirit babies, and Jesus is the first spirit baby produced. Bottom line, Jesus is not the creator God. He is created by God. Hinduism gets Jesus wrong. Hinduism teaches there is one all-pervasive supreme reality, not one all supreme God whose name is Jesus. Don't get Jesus wrong, or you'll miss out on the salvation that he rode into Jerusalem to offer. Jesus created you. But now let's look at the next part of this idea that I want you to think about this morning. He created you on purpose. I want you to think uniquely. I want you to think one-of-a-kind original. Again, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we read, verse 26, we read, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. The us is referring to the Godhead, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all present, involved in creation. In other words, when God formed you, when he formed me, when he formed humanity, it was all hands on deck. God gave creating us his undivided attention. And here's the exciting part to me. When he says, let us make man in our image, our likeness, what he is saying there, at least in part, and he's saying so much more than I can communicate to you, but I'll tell you what he's also saying. He's saying that you and I reflect something of the likeness of God, the image of God, that no one else can or ever will reflect to the world around us. See, God himself is infinite. And God can't be captured. And so the truth is, you reflect something of God's likeness to the world that I don't and I can't. And you reflect something of God's likeness to others that I can't. And I reflect something of God's likeness that others can't. See, God created us uniquely as a one-of-a-kind original. That's why the psalmist says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. But I want you to notice, in this text, I always quote that part. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, and I celebrate that. But look at the next part. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Now stop and think about that for a moment. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And then he goes, wonderful are your works. God, you did a really good job at making me. And by the way, wonderful are your works. I'm fearfully and wonderful are your works. You think about that for a minute, and the psalmist is going, God, you made me fearfully and wonderfully, and you did a good job. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it. There is something in the core of my being that knows that you are the creator God and that you created me uniquely as a one-of-a-kind original to reflect something of you to the world that no one else can reflect. So that means the designer who designed you knew what he was doing. The designer who designed your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit, he knew what he was doing and that he put you together uniquely. He used a precise formula on you, and then he threw away the formula and never used it again and never will use it again on anyone whom he ever creates. When he created you, he used a little bit of this skill and some of these spiritual gifts, and it may be administration or serving or giving or helps or you name it. So he uses some of these skills and some of these gifts, and then he throws in some of these strategic strengths and some of these strategic weaknesses. Anybody in here got any weaknesses? Yeah, you can thank God for that. And he created you uniquely. And then he threw away the formula. As a matter of fact, if you want to, I think it's appropriate. You can just turn to the person next to you. And you can just say to that person, feel free to do this.
They don't make them like me anymore.
Yeah, some of you actually did that. If somebody actually said that to you, you're free to respond to them.
Woo, are you right about that one?
Parents know this, right? That we're created by God on purpose. We're created uniquely. I mean, if you have more than one child, you know your child is unique. And if you only have one child, oh, then you're absolutely convinced that your child is unique. And there's no other child like your child on the face of the planet. And you know what? You're right. You have two or three kids, and one has this like, and the other has that like, and one this passion, and this one that skill, that ability. Every parent knows God doesn't make cookie-cutter kids because God doesn't make cookie-cutter humans. So let me ask you a question. What do you like about yourself? Oh, Gary, I'm too humble to talk about that. Okay. What do you not like about yourself? I'm not going to tell that to anybody. Okay, let me ask you this then. Do you ever compare yourself to others? Maybe you get on Instagram, TikTok, I don't know whether app you get on, Facebook, that's kind of old now. You ever look at other people's lives, others' trips, others' homes, others' abilities, others' talents? Students, do you ever on the team wish you had somebody else's speed, aptitude, ability, athleticism? Hey, how about the rest of it? Do you ever wish you had somebody else's intelligence, somebody else's hair, somebody else's skin color, somebody else's smile? Listen, if you get a hold of this morning, that we are created in the image of God, the likeness of God, and that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and we're made uniquely and originally, if you really get a hold of that, then here's what you'll do. You'll stop wishing you were someone else, and you will embrace who God created you to be. Amen? I love to ride bikes, and you were all wondering, what are these bikes doing up here? Well, this is my mountain bike, and man, if I'm riding by myself, I ride this mountain bike. It's got a heavier frame, and it's got, you know, a lot wider tires, thicker tires, fatter tires, and so if I'm riding by myself, I ride strictly on the road. I'm finished with off-roading, and I ride on the road, but if I'm riding by myself, I ride this baby, because trust me, I ride just as hard no matter which bike I'm riding. When I'm riding this one, I'm going slower. I'm riding just as hard, but it's slower because it's carrying a whole lot more weight, and the tire's wider, thicker, fatter, and so there's a lot more friction and resistance. And so I ride it, and if I hit a pothole like I did on a ride on Friday, I mean, this baby's got front suspension, and you just kind of ha, 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 you know, and you just keep going. If I hit a pothole on this little skinny tire, that tire's busting, and I'm going down busting my head, you know? And so I ride this thing if I'm riding by myself, and I get a great workout on this thing. And now this is my road bike, and you see the little skinny tires, it's carbon fiber. If it wasn't, you know, fixed to this stand so it won't fall over. I'd pick it up for you. I mean, I could just pick this up like this because it's so light. It's just carbon fiber. And so if I'm going to ride a long distance, oh, man, I'm riding this baby. I'm riding with my friend Paul in August in Wichita Falls this ride, and it's like a 100-mile ride, but I'm only committing to 64 miles because I just want to ride my age. And so we're just going to go 64. And somebody told me, just start saying you're going to ride 100 kilometers and then just start leaving off the kilometers. So I'm going to go do the 100 in Wichita Falls. But can you imagine, honestly, just seriously, just hang with me a second on this. If I take off on my road bike one day with my buddy Paul and my road bike starts, just imagine it could talk. I know. Man, I wish I was a mountain bike. What? Hold up, Paul. What'd you say? I wish I was a mountain bike. Big old stout frame, fat tires, front suspension. I mean, I'd just pull over and I'd go, honey, come on. Oh, you talk to your dogs, come on. Maybe I can't ride that thing in Wichita Falls. I gotta have you. You're good. You be the bike you were created to be, okay? And I'd give it a talking to. I'm telling you. Now listen to me. What do you think God's thinking when you and I start going, man, I wish I had their speed, their hair color, their life, their home, their job? Don't you think God, with all the tenderness and compassion and grace that God has, wants to kneel down, just put his arms around us, and just say, wait a minute. I created you uniquely as a one-of-a-kind original. Be the person I created you to be. See, if you hear this voice inside your head just saying, I'm not good enough, or I'll never amount to anything, or I'm unlovable, I'm unlikable, I'm not gifted and talented, let me tell you something. What you are doing is you are shortchanging yourself and you are insulting the God who created you uniquely. Can I say this? And students, please hear this one, but adults, this is for all of us. Social media does not define who you are. The God who created you defines who you are. So stop comparing and start celebrating who Jesus created you to be. Let me just say it one other quick way. Jesus used a unique formula on you, and then he threw away the mold. Maybe you've heard it said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. And I love that. I love that quote. But I would say it this way, honestly. Humility is seeing yourself through God's eyes. That's humility. So where are we? God created you. How did he create you? On purpose, uniquely. But I want you to notice one other thing. He created you for a purpose. See, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, did you know he fulfilled an ancient prophecy? And the ancient prophecy is, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming. Your king is coming. Your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Did you catch the part about your king is coming? And then Jesus, before he ascends into heaven, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Does that sound like a king speaking? And this is our king, Jesus, speaking to us. And he's telling us right before he ascends, I've got a purpose for your life. See, I created you uniquely on purpose, but I created you for a purpose. And it's a common purpose that everyone who follows me, Jesus speaking, shares. And then he says, here's the purpose. Go make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them how to obey all that I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus says, here's my mission. I want you to love God and I want you to love others by making disciples of those who are not. I want you to baptize them and connect them to the body of Christ. And then I want you to stick around and teach them how to follow me. See, just because somebody becomes a follower doesn't mean they know how to follow. So this morning, I really want you to get this. Jesus created you. The one who rode into Jerusalem to save you is the one who created you. And he created you uniquely. And some of you this morning, you're going, yeah, he created me a mountain bike and I want to be a road bike. Wait a minute. And maybe he created you a road bike and you want to be a mountain bike. Maybe he created you as a tricycle. Most days I feel like he's created me to be a unicycle, just kind of weird. When Jesus created you, he created you uniquely. And in your uniqueness, you get to reveal something of God's likeness, what God is like to everyone around you that no one else can reveal. But he said, here's the common purpose. Make disciples, baptize, and teach. Jesus created you on purpose for a purpose. So what do we do with this message? How do we respond? In these moments, here's the response I'm going to invite you to respond with. Number one, to respond with worship. The worship team is going to come back up right now, and we're just, there's this song, So Will I. All of creation praises you and worships you, so will I. And I'm going to invite you in just a few moments to just lean in and just worship God with all of your heart. What was the response when Jesus rode into Jerusalem? There were palm branches and Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna, hallowed be your name, Jesus. So I'm going to invite you in just a moment to stand and just worship God with the every fiber of your being, from the depths of your soul. I'm going to invite you to just worship Jesus. But as we worship, listen, there's a next step room right there. And I'm going to invite some of you to do business with God. And maybe the business with God is to respond to Jesus' offer of salvation. Jesus rode into Jerusalem to die on a cross in your place and in my place so he might save us. And the way we take advantage of what Jesus did for us on the cross is by repenting of our sin and saying, Jesus, I believe you are the rightful King of Kings, and Jesus, I repent of my sin, I believe in you, and I'll follow you as my Lord. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So some of you, while we sing, we're all going to be standing, and it's allowable. You can actually slip out and just go right back to the next step room. There will be ministers there, and we'd love to talk to you about how you can give your life to Jesus today. Maybe the work that you need to do, though, is just a work of embracing that you're created as a one-of-a-kind original. Maybe you've been doing a lot of comparing and a lot of negative talk. And man, I'm not talented. I'm not gifted. I wish I was this. I wish I was that. Maybe for you, while we're worshiping, the thing for you to do is just to bow your head and just say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wonderful are your works, oh God. Maybe for you, the worship would be to say, God, I embrace who you made me to be. And I celebrate who you made me to be. And maybe finally, the work that I'm inviting you to do while we worship is to just find your giftedness. Find your spiritual gift and then employ it somewhere. See, God made you uniquely, but it's not just so you can run track really well or play basketball really well or be really good in business. See, God uniquely gifted you so that you could join him in building the kingdom of God. And one of the ways that you find your spiritual gift is just find what you're good at, what you're gifted at. And find what others just applaud and say, man, when you do that, they're like, man, that was such a blessing. That was so good. And find what you're passionate about. So what are you gifted at? What are you passionate about? What do others applaud you for? I grew up out in the country. I grew up We ran a rodeo, roping and riding bulls and wrestling steers. So I grew up knowing there's one thing I didn't want to do when I grew up. Riding. I haven't ridden a horse since I left home. And roping, wrestling steers and riding bulls. I was a city boy trapped in the country. I went to a huge city for school, Commerce, Texas. It's huge. I'd never lived in a town that big. And as God led and moved, and I was asked to preach at a church, long story, and man, as I did that, there was kind of an aptitude there, and there was kind of affirmation, and I found that I was really passionate about that, and I'm telling you, is it Commerce, East Texas State, that God revealed to me he was calling me not to ride bulls, but to preach the Word of God. See, some of you right now, maybe you're kind of like my bike, which has disappeared because the worship team doesn't want it up here during the worship. And maybe somewhere along you took a wrong turn, or, you know, my bike, the spokes, if they get out of spokiness, I don't know the terms. I just take it to Richardson Bike Mart and they spoke the spokes, and, you know, but if the spokes are not spoky right, you know, I mean, it starts vibrating and you're riding and you're just like, you know. So pay them $100 and they'll spoke the spokes, you know. And maybe there's something in your life that's just kind of vibrating because you're just not doing what you know God's created you to do. So maybe for you the work is to say, God, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Show me how you made me. Show me where you want me to get plugged in. Maybe it's in Alpha. Maybe it's in Shiloh, a ministry to ladies who are struggling with infertility. Maybe it's rocking babies. Maybe it's something else entirely. But ask God to show you. Ask God to show you this morning. God, where have you gifted me and where do you want me to go to work? So that's it. Get started with salvation or baptism or church membership right in the next step room. But pray and ask Jesus to save you. Maybe it's to just thank God for the way he created you. Maybe it's to just say, okay, God, I'm ready to go to work. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to stand and we're going to worship. If all of creation worships Jesus, we're going to sing, So Will I. Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We believe that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Lord Jesus, right now, we believe that you created you, each one of us as a one-of-a-kind original. And if all of creation, everything else that you've created, everything else that you've made worships you, then Lord Jesus, so will we. We pray this in Jesus' name. Will you stand? Will you worship?